It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A new survey by Epic Hearing Healthcare finds that one in three U.S. employees suspect they have hearing loss but have not sought treatment. Of those, almost all say it impacts them on the job. Today, we're searching for answers to why hearing loss is on the rise, particularly among young people, and why people aren't having their hearing checked. I'm joined in studio by a Pittsburgh audiologist, Dr. Suzanne Yoder, a member of the American Academy of Audiology. Dr. Yoder, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's good to be here.
And you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter, at esspgh. Follow the conversation at #EPLive. Is the world getting louder, in your opinion? And if so, has it adversely affected your hearing? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Dr. Yoder, you heard our opening piece. Is the world getting louder? And from your experience as an audiologist in this early part of the 21st century, are you finding that it is impacting our hearing?
Thank you, Paul, for asking that question. I think it's a big question that weighs on all audiologists' mind. And really, we live in an industrial society, and there's a lot of noise out there. We have traffic noise out on our streets. Our jobs are noisy. Our recreations are noisy. People shoot guns, go to rock concerts, go to parties. And jobs that you wouldn't even think of that can impact your hearing are noisy. Even dentists that run dental drills, teachers in noisy classrooms. So, yeah, we do live in a very noisy world, and it is impacting our hearing over time. And we are seeing that, and I'm seeing it personally in my practice with patients coming in. They have a very noise-induced hearing loss pattern to their loss, and you can actually tell when it's noise induced. It takes a certain pattern on.
How do you tell? How do you tell that it's not maybe just something that's happening over the course of life to somebody, that in fact it is from maybe, you know, having the stereo cranked too loud in their car with the windows up, that kind of thing?
Well, noise-induced hearing loss follows a pattern where it's reduced more at the higher frequencies and starts to recover. So it follows a pattern that we call a noise notch. It drops more at 3 and 4,000 hertz and then starts to recover after that at 8,000 hertz. So when somebody comes in and they don't really have any health factors or other issues that we would consider hearing loss factor, and we see that type of loss, it's almost always a noise-induced loss. It just is the way the pattern falls. And it really goes back to the physiology of the hearing system. In the cochlea, which is part of the inner ear, there's a very delicate, fragile system of hair cells. And the cochlea is a spiral. And when noise pressure enters the ear, it hits that spiral just like you would hit a guardrail if you were going too fast in your car. And it shears those hair cells right in this one section where 3 and 4,000 hertz occur. So that's why we know when we see that drop in hearing that it is actually very likely noise-induced.
And we should mention for our listeners, perhaps they've picked up on this, that you yourself have a hearing loss, but this is something that occurred for you apparently at birth, but it wasn't diagnosed until later. Explain that.
Sure. Now we have newborn hearing screenings in place in pretty much every state across the U.S., and the newborn hearing screenings would evaluate babies before they even go home. So the majority of congenital hearing loss is found right away. In my case, I was born in the 70s where it wasn't commonplace to test babies. And so with the hearing loss that I had at the time, it wasn't actually discovered until I was school age. When children enter a school system, they're screened. Mm-hmm. And that's when it came up for me.
And so going back to the piece that we heard, were there things in there that you heard about that the doctor was discussing that resonated for you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, being a hard of hearing person and being in a noisy society is a difficult combination because there are so many noises out there that are interacting and interfering with my ability to follow speech. So I personally wish we lived in a quieter society at times, but, you know, what can you do?
Well, and for a lot of people, as was pointed out earlier, there isn't a choice. I think the term audio dumping ground, which really is such a perfect term for someone that might live in a situation where they're just stuck in a place where the traffic never stops. People are maybe awake at all hours of the night or whatever's going on. It does, in fact, as we heard earlier, impact people. Well, there are a lot of people that want to join the conversation about this at 412-246-2002. So let's get started and go first to Rick in Forest Hills. Rick, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Dr. Suzanne Hi. Yoder.
Hi. So I found it interesting that you had mentioned that the audio tends to decrease at the higher frequencies. I am in a band, and we typically practice a lot louder than I'd prefer. But I've noticed actually more in the lower range of my hearing, you know, when I'm talking with people, if they're not very loud, if they're kind of soft and on the lower range, it just totally kind of blanks out, and I got to ask multiple times to get repeated. I mean, it's not dire, but I'm 28. It seems like that might be kind of an issue. And on the flip side, I find myself actually more sensitive to higher frequencies. You know, if there's a loud noise with higher frequency, I seem to really hone in on it, and it can actually be kind of disturbing, if that makes sense. I don't know what my options are.
Well, Rick, are you wondering if the fact that you're in a band and exposed to the loud sounds at certain times during the course of a week or a day for you, that are you worried that this is impacting your hearing?
I'm wondering if there's any impact to my hearing, if there's things that can be done, or what I could do to get checked out. I guess I never really even thought about getting my hearing checked.
Okay, well, Dr. Yoder, what do you think about Rick's situation and his concerns?
Well, Rick, a lot of people come into my practice saying that they can hear, but it's not always clear to them what they're hearing. They're not actually complaining of a specific loss at a specific frequency. More that they hear people, but it's not clear, or that background noise is overwhelming their hearing and they're not able to pull that speech. And so that's a more common complaint. So when you start to notice that your hearing isn't what it used to be, certainly get it evaluated. Very frequently, if it is a noise-induced hearing loss and you continue to have noisy activities, you can stop the hearing loss by using hearing protection and being more careful. When you're at the band, you can wear musician earphones or musician monitors. And then even outside of your work with the band, just everyday noises like running the lawnmower or the weed whacker, all those things can add up. So noise exposure is accumulative. The more that you protect, the better off you're going to be in the long run. So there's much that you can do. I really encourage you to go to an audiologist and have your hearing evaluated. Many people put it off until it's a really big problem, and that's exactly the wrong thing to do. You want to get evaluated before it's a big problem.
And people who have suffered from some sort of hearing loss, as far as we know, you can't reverse hearing loss, can you?
The question is, can you avoid hearing loss?
No, it's once the damage is done, mm-hmm. It sounds like you cannot reverse that.
I see. Very frequently, it's a permanent loss. In fact, the most common type of hearing loss is sensory neural loss, which is damage to the inner ear and the auditory nerve endings. And you really can't reverse that. Once it's gone, it's gone. It's permanent. There are a few conditions that can be reversible, and those are more medical issues, like hearing loss that is caused by earwax accumulation or an ear infection or an injury to the ear. And in those cases, then you may be able to get surgery or some sort of medical treatment to treat it. But the majority of losses are not reversible. So my encouragement would be to protect and preserve what you have.
And if you need to get your hearing checked, don't wait to do it. Do it.
do it right away. In fact, I think every adult, even before they're having a problem, should have their hearing evaluated to determine a baseline so that you can see if there are indeed changes over time. And then if you have high risks for hearing loss, to have it evaluated more often, every other year, to determine, you know, if there is a problem.
Let's go to Holly in Oakland. Holly, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello. I want to talk about a couple of things. One is the increased ambient noise in restaurants. I've noticed, perhaps in the last 5 years in Pittsburgh, that most of the restaurants have removed the heavy carpet or the carvings on the wall that absorb noise, and it's the noise and level in most any restaurant you go into is very high these days, and that really is concerning me. And the other, of course, is a selective choice to go to concerts where most of the music, no matter what it is over-amplified. I have a visual impairment myself, so I kind of go equipped with earplugs, and I don't even go to loud rock concerts. I go to bluegrass and folk music and things like that, and band concerts, brass band and that sort of thing, and I always find it's very loud, and I think things are much more overly amplified than they need to be.
Well, thank you, Holly. And so are you finding, through your research, Dr. Yoder, that people are simply being exposed to more and more, whether it's at a concert, which you obviously have a choice to go to, or in a restaurant where you don't have a choice if you want to sit and eat? A lot of times, I found that you're sitting near a speaker and you're trying to go from maybe seat to seat to get away from it, but the speakers are everywhere and it's unavoidable.
It's really hard to get away from noises in our society. There's been some research in New York City, actually. The Department of Health was studying noise exposure in some of their bars and restaurants, and really they found that, you know, the majority of people going out into those environments were experiencing noise-induced side effects, they really needed to take a closer look at that. And I do think that all the city's health departments should be taking a closer look at the level of noise in our venues. But unfortunately, people are addicted to loud music and they like it. And I don't think it's going away anytime soon. But with some education, maybe we can turn that around.
And is that part of what is contributing to overall hearing loss, the rise in the instances of hearing loss that you're seeing among people?
Repeat the question again, Pa.
Do you think, Dr. Yoder, that the amount of noise, the increased noise in society is contributing to the increased incidence of hearing loss that you're finding in your patients?
Well, we think so. And, you know, there's research that's come out about younger people having a rise in prevalence of hearing loss that I don't think we were anticipating. You know, audiologists and hearing scientists were anticipating the baby boomers because it's an aging population. There certainly is that rise of prevalence for that age group. Mm-hmm. But what we didn't anticipate as much is younger generations, so Generation X to Generation Y, that they actually have a rise in hearing loss.
And what's causing that?
Well, we think it's a combination of many factors, and it's usually hard to know exactly if it's any one factor, but noise is playing a role, we believe, and then healthy lifestyle choices are playing a role, as well as, you know, the things that have always been there.
When you say lifestyle choices, what kind of lifestyle choices would impact your hearing?
Well, smoking is harmful to the hearing system. High blood pressure, high cholesterol, just generally not taking care of your body is harmful. The hearing system is extremely fragile, so it all trickles down. If you have health conditions like high blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid conditions, and things that you're not treating and you're not trying to get under control, it's a problem. And the rise in obesity in our country is significant, and that does trickle down to your hearing system along with all the other aspects of your body.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation with Dr. Suzanne Yoder. We're talking about hearing loss, the increase in instances of hearing loss among people in the United States and among younger people, statistics are showing. Let's go to Jim in Oakland. Jim, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello, Paul. I love the show, and I look, especially today's show. Now, I'm blind, and I use hearing a lot for things I can't see. the one thing that bothers me on the corner, like if I'm waiting to, if I'm standing in an intersection with my cane, waiting to cross the street in the city, the noise of the jackhammers and the trucks and the construction, it blocks out the noise of, I can't hear the traffic, and I can't always tell when to go, unless it's an audible traffic signal like we have in Oakland here, up at Don Craig Street. But no, it's really hard. It's getting worse, and it's really noise on buses. I take the buses a lot. I don't drive, and it's so noisy on the buses. Everyone, a lot, sometimes screaming among people, and it's just awful, you know.
Well,
terrible.
Well, you mentioned the audible crossing signals, and I'm guessing that it's probably hard to hear those.
Very hard to hear those. Well, now they're in Oakland, like a bird chirping. It's hard to hear those. No, it's really, and all the other noise blocks out everything.
Well, you've raised a concern that a lot of people wouldn't think of unless they, like you, are seeing impaired and then have to rely on some of these things to be able to just function and get around.
Oh, yeah, it's very hard. It's very annoying. And on the buses, there's people screaming and sometimes yelling among each other, and it's awful, you know.
Well, you know, Dr. Yoder, what about just the increased, I suppose if people are maybe dealing with some hearing impairment that they may not be aware of, they may be speaking louder than a person normally might just to compensate, just so they can hear themselves, I suppose.
It's pretty common for people to talk louder when they do have hearing loss so that they can hear themselves. They don't realize how loud they're speaking. It's also very common to ask people to repeat themselves and to answer inappropriately. There's a lot of signs for hearing loss.
And I understand that research shows some people pretend that they can hear on the job when they can't. If this is true, why would anyone do that?
Well, it's hearing loss has unfortunately had that bad reputation where people feel like if they admit that they have a hearing problem, they're going to be seen as being old, which is something that they don't want, or that they'll be seen as being less capable, or that their employer will think less of them or treat them differently or maybe not give them that promotion. The sad thing is it's actually the reverse. When you go out there and you treat your hearing loss and you deal with the issues, you're more likely to earn a better living. And there's actually research to back that up, that it shows that there's a loss of salary for those with untreated hearing loss. So it's extremely important to go out and start dealing with it and not, you know, bluffing your way through conversations, because the reality is when you bluff, when you pretend, you end up looking worse. You end up looking like either you didn't care to begin with, or you weren't paying attention, or that you're incompetent. So that is an unfortunate fact that people are pretending, but it doesn't have to be that way.
So there is evidence to show that people's fears are well-founded. In other words, that if you are admitting to an employer that yes, I am having trouble hearing, that these people can be discriminated against.
Well, I don't think that their fears are, I mean, at least in the research, they're not founded. In the research, and this is not in the white paper that we read. This is something that I've read over the years, and that is that. If people have hearing loss and obtain treatment, there is an improvement in their employment, that there more of them are gainfully employed, and that they earn a higher level of income. So treating your hearing loss and dealing with it and accepting it is actually a benefit, not the other way around.
Right. Okay. So you're saying that their fears, the fears that they have about admitting to hearing loss, showing that to an employer that they are not necessarily well-founded.
That's right.
Okay. Wanted to clarify that. David on Twitter asks, can you talk about tinnitus and other vestibular conditions?
Sure. Tinnitus or tinnitus is ringing in the ears. It's very common when people have hearing loss, but can also be caused by medication and certain health conditions. When people have ringing in the ears, it can sometimes be very bothersome to them and cause sleeping problems or anxiety issues. Due to the fact that tinnitus is often related to hearing loss, if you treat the hearing loss, you'll often treat the tinnitus. So the two play a very close role. So my recommendation for patients that are dealing with tinnitus is to have it evaluated and then deal with the hearing loss first and see if the tinnitus is still hanging on. If it is, then they may need further treatment. There are ways to deal with it, but unfortunately there are no cures for tinnitus right now. Some people will experience ringing in the ears after noise exposure, which goes right into what we were talking about earlier. When somebody attends a loud concert and the next day their ears are ringing, that is actually a sign that they've done some damage to their hearing. Now, if that damage is persistent over time, it doesn't recover. The inner ear, those fragile hair cells we talked about earlier, they're responding to that loud sound pressure level. They're actually inflamed, and that's what's causing the ringing. And if that inflammation continues, those hair cells will die and they will not work anymore. And so therefore there's like a gap in your hearing and the brain tries to fill in that gap. And then you have the ongoing ringing forever ad nauseum.
We have just a few seconds left, but does insurance cover some of what people need to have their hearing loss dealt with and treated?
Well, a large number of people that are still in the workforce, and unfortunately most of their hearing aid insurance benefits aren't going to cover hearing aids. So it's important to talk to employers about, you know, ancillary benefits, things that can be done to cover hearing aids, perhaps financing or health savings accounts, since there's not a lot of coverage for the working force. Now, those that are on Medicare, some of them do have some help.
Dr. Suzanne Yoder is a member of the American Academy of Audiology, a Pittsburgh audiologist, talking about hearing loss. Dr. Yoder, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll talk with Pittsburgh Power quarterback Tommy Grady. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.